All right. Okay. Today is open mic, open discussion. I'm your host, Adal Day, otherwise known as Brother Dolph. With me today as my guest, my special guest, is Brother Adel Muhammad Ali, a representative of the Moorish Embassy. Also, every second, I believe, and fourth Wednesday, we host a group discussion, a group build that can be accessed through Facebook, the Facebook group. And we talk about items of discussion, different various perspectives and that, in order to go towards a process of nation building. So I'll let Brother Adel introduce himself, and then we'll go on from that. Brother, you there?
Peace. Peace and love. Thank you, Brother Dolph. Peace and love to the viewers. Oh, man. It's a pleasure to be here to, you know, be able to express, you know, my view to you and the audience. And, you know, of course, all praise to Allah for, you know, allowing us to be able to share this breath. So, as, you know, we go into this, Brother Dolph, you know, anything, you know, whatever you would like us to, you know, delve into, I'm open.
Okay. Let's go ahead and have you give an introduction of what I kind of touched on it before, as far as what we do every other Wednesday, and with the Wednesday Lives, and also the organization that you represent. Let's go with that first, and then we'll go from there.
Right, the Wednesday Live, as Brother Dolph was mentioning, you know, the discussion, the group discussion we have is every other week. The next one we have will be on the 7th. So for those that's, you know, interested, please go ahead and join us. It's a private group, so that way we can keep a safe space as we develop and grow as individuals and also as a group. Our website is theembassyofthemoors.org, and you will be able to find all the links on the page. At the bottom, we'll have our YouTube, Instagram, the Facebook link, where you can also join the private group. We go over important things that is important for us as we navigate through the system to establish our own independence economically, which now gives us the liberty to have spiritual independence, mental independence. So this, you know, these are our aims, and this is what we endeavor to do. And, you know, we hope that, you know, the viewers that out there would, you know, not hesitate to also subscribe to our newsletter that we are preparing to launch by July 25th. So please stay tuned into that. You'll get in more information if you would just, once again, log on to our website and always look at the calendar, where we have references and updates on the calendar. You could click it. It'll also give you an update on your own personal calendar on your phone. So with that being said, Brother Dolph.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. Yeah, I just wanted to let you know also, this is actually going to go to the podcast channel, Learn More Truth, Learning More Truth, and Learning More Chronicles. And I'll be posting that information, all the socials related to the Embassy of the Moors, at that page. You will see that, and also cross-reference it to the group as well, to the group on the Facebook page of this podcast today. Well, I don't really have anything as far as, you know, any kind of hard questions or anything like that. I just wanted to kind of paint over my experiences as who I consider myself to be, which is a learning Moor. And there are those out there who tend to believe that people that are in the process of learning aren't really to the point where they should be saying anything, because you haven't acquired the knowledge yet. And all you would do when you go out here and start speaking certain things, saying certain things about Moorish consciousness and the paradigm itself, which I've come to understand it is, then you promote confusion. And the last thing that I would want to do is be the facilitator of confusion. Which I have been seeing, and this is something that comes to mind that I've experienced over roughly the past 5 years. And there are not really many people that I've come to know personally in the flesh other than Brother Adel here. We personally met roughly 6-7 maybe months ago, And even though it was during the phase of the, you know, of what this is, the dilemma that we are still in today in civil distress, we were still able to meet personally anyway. And we sat down and we talked some things over. And I'm approaching him from the standpoint of somebody that is still relatively new and learning this experience associated with being Moorish American, Al-Moroccan, and things tied into that, you know, to all that through the heritage and the history or herstory of it, as I've seen it or heard it phrased. So the main question, or the main thing that comes to mind initially, is I'm hearing a lot of the phrasing, a number of phrases. And among the phrases I've heard initially coming on to this, and again, I'm going to go back a little bit. 5 years ago, I actually ran across some information from Jose Pimenta Bay that is affiliated with the Moorish Science Temple of America. I believe the main temple of one of them, or what have you, because there's a number of them strewn about the country. And he basically said something to the effect that, you know, you are not black. And then I've seen this also being voiced by others out here who are considered master teachers, if you will, on the subject of Moorish consciousness. So what I've also seen from other scholars, you know, that are versed in African studies or Africana studies, the first thing that comes to mind, and I believe that John Henry Clark had said this, whatever you do is proclaim your nationality. And then I've been seeing a lot of other people on social media. And I only say this because this is the only person that I've really met off of social media, that being Brother Adele, in person. And we formulated, I would say, a bond, because he's helped me to learn and we're working together in this endeavor to do what we can do, at least from me, you know, from my standpoint, to help uplift fallen humanity. All right. So the question I've seen, or the statement that I've seen more often than not, though, is proclaim your nationality. Whatever you do, proclaim your nationality. And I believe it was even voiced by the Prophet Noble Drew Ali. The question in my mind has always been and has become, well, okay, so I've proclaimed my nationality for one, and what is the process in which that I proclaim my nationality? And then once I proclaim it, then what? Is there anything actionable to do? And I've asked those questions openly before, and to certain people that I've considered to be more well-versed in the matter. And with very few exceptions, I haven't really found anybody that can direct me in the path to increase my learning of that. So it's a long question, Brother Dale, but I wanted to get your purview. I wanted to get your standpoint and purview just by virtue of the fact of proclaiming one's nationality. What is it? Is it an actual tangible thing to do? Is it something that you embrace within yourself, or thing that you formally proclaim, so on and so forth? So I would like to hear insight about that, please.
Well, you know, just as, you know, you mentioned Brother Dolph, and, you know, if I haven't, you know, made it clearly earlier, you know, I'm a representative of the Embassy of the Moors, and I am a sincere brother and a guide, and to help, as Brother Dolph mentioned, uplift fallen humanity and our efforts, we want to always be practical. We want to be realist. We don't want to deliver a message that is disingenuous, nor do we want to leave things mystical so that way we could, you know, fill our pocket as we lead people down a rabbit hole of things of vanity. So we hear the cliche term very often within what is dubbed the conscious community, or the Moorish conscious community. Proclaim your nationality. You know, what does it mean? What's the benefit of it? In essence, there is no true benefit. And when we take into the position we are in. This is only, as you mentioned, something first that must be digested internally and knowing who you are and where your allegiance lie. Now, externally, it becomes a organization formality. And with it being an organization formality, this is a ground level legal contract with your organization showing that allegiance, so that one can now put one in its proper self, in its proper position of who's one's representative. Because this is our problem at whole, is being disenfranchised. We have no representation. So in organizing, just as when one on an organization level have members proclaim their nationality as the Holy Prophet did during his time, he didn't have people claim their nationality to the United States government. He wasn't telling people by way of the divine constitution that he established for people to proclaim their nationality with these various United States bureaus. This is out of context. The formality of proclaiming your nationality is within one's judicial society that is being established, independent from the United States construct. So this way, one can now, on a relationship basis, have a legal contract with one's stated representative, which is one's organization, in developing into being as we aim and endeavor to be a nation. These are fundamental things that must take place. However, it's become something that's cliche, because people could tell you to proclaim your nationality and now they have a packet to sell you. When these packets, these things mean nothing. In reality, it means nothing to the United States government. It means nothing because you sent something in to the White House. You sent something to the DA. It means nothing because you sent something to the United States Supreme Court and you're reciting to them their own uniform commercial laws or their own United States Constitution. They then knew who we were. We could trace it all the way back to us being in physical shackles. They knew who we were when we were denationalized. And to send in a mirage of paperwork would not convince them that we have established those things necessary to be independent. It's just paperwork. And this is why many of us are now labeled paper terrorists.
Now, let me interject here, okay? You say that we were denationalized, right? So,
correct.
In your view, as you understand it, what was that process? What did that process entail for us to have been denationalized? If you would touch on that.
That process entails us being stripped of our nationality, which is our proper status that ties us to the human family. Because everyone in the world has a nationality. So now, for us to be stripped from ours and given slave labels of Negro, Black, now this is the process of denationalization. And now us being domesticated, these are the only terms that we know, because by default, coming out of slavery and not being educated formally in the way that we should, we only cling to what's familiar and popular. Black, Negro, African American, and this time. And these are labels that were given to us by slaveholders.
Right. Right. So paper terrorists, huh? Oh man. Yeah, I mean, right. it just has fueled my confusion, I think, early on in this, in my understanding of it. And as anyone that's reasonably thinking about this, is that there's got to be some sort of remedy, some sort of solution to all this that we've been put under, you know, the system of subjugation and all that. And there have been some that have spoke out more eloquently than I can today here on this podcast, but there has been something declared and discussed about enforcing the laws of the treaty laws, rather. And the one treaty that tends to come up is the one from 1787, I believe, was the Treaty of Peace and Friendship. And there's other documents too that's been urged for people to read, such as the Doctrine of Discovery, Christian Slave Laws of 1724, etc. But I've heard that we need to really be in a position in order to enforce treaty. And have you heard that being mentioned before by those considered, I guess, teachers in this topic of Moorish consciousness, you think?
Yes. Yes, sir. You hear it often. Yeah. You hear it, it's regurgitated, you know, all the way down to those that are less conscious.
Such, and I fall into that category, by the way, of being less conscious, you know. And it's amazing to me that it sounds to be somewhat of a logical approach to someone that's really just coming new into this understanding, such as myself. And, you know, I'm coming to this in a rather humble sense, with humility, you know, thinking that, look, I've lived within a certain construct all throughout my adult life. And I've reached a certain age where I've seen, you know, certain things that seem more logical than the way I had lived before. And it's not out of helplessness that I'm looking at these things. It's out of, well, I would like to see a solution if we were, or that we were, you know, being that we were deprived of our national origin, our nationality, our status, our rightful status in society. But I'm hearing that we have to be in a non or less colorable status, deal, you know, pertaining to, you know, colorable laws, and that we need to get away from those and actually be in our proper position under law. And I've seen people be, I guess I can say, attacked for not utilizing certain steps or a certain approach towards it. I've seen different subgroups, I've seen bickering among people, you know, and stuff like that. And I don't really necessarily want to touch on that. I'm trying to actually remain on an even keel about all this and be positive, because as I'm still trying to, you know, make this walk myself, not only for me, but for, you know, my offspring and future generations after me. So getting back to my point, or the point that I was trying to convey anyway, what in your view would mean, or if it means anything, to enforce treaty law? And would that be effective or an efficient approach?
Okay. Let me read this here.
Okay.
This is from Booker T. Washington autobiography, Up From Slavery. And this particular part stood out to me, you know, in this context of, you know, what you were sharing, where he states, "One man may go into a community prepared to supply the people there with an analysis of Greek sentences. The community may not at the time be prepared for or feel the need of Greek analysis, but it may feel its need of bricks and houses and wagons. If the man can supply the need for those, then it will lead eventually to a demand for the first product. And with the demand will come the ability to appreciate it and to profit by it." So stopping there, we can't think that enforcing some treaty without us being in a position of having the necessary things for us to even survive. But we want to enforce some documents. This is backwards. And this is the approach that have left many with nothing tangible. Mm-hmm. If we want to enforce anything, then it must be done as a body, as a collective, as an organized right. body, not as individuals who feel that they have a right to claim. So they just going to file something and it's going to be granted because they're going to recognize me. This is not the right approach. This, to enforce any type of, when we're talking about treaty, this is talking about international law, first off. So to enforce international law, it's not done by individuals. No matter how you construct your sentences, whether you use uppercase or lowercase, the syntax doesn't matter. It's just paper. Now, on the international level, you have nations that are a political body that have representatives. And all of those nations have done the one thing we have neglected to do because we feel we are too good to work for ourselves. So in doing that, the one thing everyone else have done was, on the most base level, have, as we just read, they have built themselves homes, bricks, wagons, you know, for travel. And these are the things that establishes civilizations. So that way, their needs are cared for. Now, other things could be tackled. But to continue to be in a position of a beggar position, while we are the largest consumers, and ask for something to be granted to us via paperwork, then this is similar to laying on a couch and telling another grown person to go to the refrigerator for you and grab you that beer.
That sounds like a good idea, really. No. No, but I get you. Okay. Wow. So I'm seeing from that and I think we've touched on this before. And you mentioned the word backwards, that we're the approach in this is, so far as I've seen it as well, has been one that's been of a backward approach, in my opinion, because there's no real foundation or a functional body that's in the position to represent our group interests across the scale.
And to intercede, and that's because we have nothing tangible to stand on. Everything is who have the best gift for gab, who could mm-hmm. do the best convincing that we are Moors, as if that alone will secure us housing, as if that alone will secure us methods to properly feed ourselves. These are the tangible things that we first must endeavor to do, instead of attempting to force on people to accept their status, which is their status of being Moorish American, before they are even out of a fear of being put out of their home because they live check to check. So it's other things that we must focus on besides trying to convince people that this is who they are without anything tangible that we could show for in the past 100 years plus to say, by me following this method, this is what we have received. This is why you should do it too. Not based solely on one's verbiage of this is why you're more because of this. This is the research that we put together. Look, this is why you're more. Or this is why you're more. Watch this video. But when you look, we are so confused and disunified and have nothing tangible to show that being who you supposed to be profits you things on the credit side of life. But instead we have nothing but so-called teachers that so-called could teach well but cannot lead well, because once again we have nothing to show for. I conclude.
So, in lacking of those tangibles, those things that you acquire or that you have, and we're not talking about material possessions per se. We're talking about things that are invested in to leverage a position in society, right? To be acknowledged. Correct. To be acknowledged as a particular equals. Body of human being.
As equal.
Right.
If you could build your own
house. As equals.
And I could build my own house, then I could look at you as an equal. But if I could build my own house, and you can't build yours, you want to come work for me and I instruct you on how to build it all your life, then you can't look at yourself as equal to me.
Right.
You just a worker all your life. Right. So you can't be the equal when you cannot even provide the necessities for yourself. As a people, we talking in general. If we cannot provide for ourselves the necessities, then we cannot look at ourselves as equals to those who do.
Okay. All right. So let's see. We've been on the clock here for about a half hour, and I think we could pretty much almost wrap this up. But there's one more thing I wanted to touch on. A couple more things, actually. In your viewpoint, what would you see would be feasible? A feasible approach and a possible process or format to follow in order to play to get us or enable us to be in a proper position, in a more just or more lawful position as nationals, and understanding that there are steps involved, right?
Right.
Let's we know that people want solutions, but. It's not gonna happen overnight. There's no microwave fix to this.
Exactly.
What I would like to, you know, and I'd like for you to touch on, you know, approaches and processes associated with what essentially is nation building.
Okay. Nation building, you know, is, you know, it's aligned with civics. It's aligned with the root. When we look at civilization, you know, when we look at a city, you know, this is, you know, us participating in the development of how we cultivate life. So it works the same just with our organisms on a micro scale. And now, with us being the last in the world to come into our own, it's important for us to really teach and cultivate civilization or nation building, you know, self-help, self-reliance. And that is, you know, only done by teaching how to do for ourselves. What are the necessities of life? What are the things that we need, not the things that we want? Because we can't put in paperwork for the things that we need, but we spend all of our money on the things that we want. And we're talking about enforce a treaty. This is why we have nothing tangible to show, because we don't look at our necessities as necessities. So when we look at those things, then we could say, where do we start at? We have to eat. And in order for us to eat, then that begins with us having land. When we say we have to have shelter, then in order to have shelter, that begins with us having land. When we say, okay, we need clothes, that's the last necessity. And even with that, with development of fabrics, you know, growing, you know, agriculture, even with those that have, you know, cattle, sheep, you have to have first land, because you cannot cultivate and develop the necessities of life as renters, and then we just going to spring forward into being a nation tomorrow. But none of us have worked through the developments of developing a stronger union and administration, so that way we could be effective and caring for ourselves instead of providing for their welfare and being a part of their welfare system. We have to have these types of transitional things in place so we can become our own, not just profess these things as an idea or in rebellion to the status quo, but not necessarily putting in the work to transition safely, thinking about the collective. So the necessities of life, these are the things that we must need. So these are the things that must be on the table. And these are the things that we must approach first and foremost to secure us a position to go after the other things.
So even so being where we are in knowing who we are, though, but being in the position that we are, if we're still tied, I guess you could say, to the matrix, we still have to try to do what we can within that matrix to make things work. Would that be reasonable to accept?
Correct.
I mean, you know, we have to utilize what we know so far, and in order to try to get to a level or to get to a point to achieve leverage, I believe.
Exactly.
So I think. All right. Well, any words, any final words? Because I don't really have anything else to add, but if you got anything else to add, let me know. And also leave your socials, your social information up for us, for the listeners. And again, I'll be posting that on the podcast channel page. And I'll be distributing this accordingly. So with any closing notes, you know, feel free to go ahead and give yourself an outro, and make sure that you add all your social information so this can be viewed later. And we can hopefully grow this membership and make this thing grow bigger than what it is. It is growing, right, too. But right. Go ahead, buddy.
Okay. To follow up with what you lastly mentioned, knowing ourselves, to know who we are, you know, to know that, you know, we are more, to know that we are muscle, you know, to know these things goes beyond just lip profession. It entails us working towards the goal of establishing our nation and establishing God's kingdom on earth, because we are the representation of the divine. So in knowing ourselves, we cannot say and claim that we know ourselves, but we are still in a mega position. Then we really only know our potential, but we really don't know who we are, because we haven't became who we're supposed to be, or who we're supposed to be. So therefore, to just merely say to know thyself, it also has become a cliche saying. When it's important for us to always take into consideration not being materialistic, but being realistic, what are the tangibles that we must have if we know thyself? What are the things we must be endeavoring after if we know thyself? And to know thyself is to be the God of one's life, is to be the God of one's diet, of the one that is in control of one's mind, is the true ruler. This is how one know thyself. And we cannot do that if we are only thinking selfishly and not about the collective, as far as securing our liberty, our pursuit of happiness, our justice for our future generations. If we are not thinking about the collective and endeavoring towards establishing that safe haven and securing those necessities, then we are really far from knowing thyself. We are really content at being subjects of a corporation, which is the United States of America. And as you mentioned, yes, we must, in transitioning out, utilize the cards that we were dealt. This is bigger than one thinking he's coming to the realization of who he is and then saying, oh, well, I don't supposed to be using this Social Security card or this birth certificate, so I'm going to go ahead and dismiss these things. I'm supposed to be using their identification cards, so therefore I'm going to drive without a license. These are avenues that people take based off the information that's given out here in this so-called conscious community, and people are attempting these things and getting themselves in trouble. People are attempting to enforce adverse possession claims and are getting themselves in trouble. And the best that someone could tell you on the receiving end is you didn't do it right.
Ooh.
And these are methods on how people fatten their pockets to lead you down a mysterious chase of error. Because now here I have another affidavit that you can purchase. Then they send you something else, here go another affidavit you can send them that I have for sale. But in actuality, nobody is really there to assist you. Nobody is really there to show you the clear-cut path. You only get snippets and propaganda that's pushed on how Moore's don't pay taxes, but he was just showing you a receipt where something was purchased at the 99-cent store. This is propaganda without true substance, with nothing followed up, because it has nothing to stand on. This is not within the context of organizing. This is what we call being rogue. And many of us have become test subjects of other people's teachings who don't implement the things that they teach. So with that being said, I conclude. And as Brother Dolph mentioned, you could reach us at website, the Embassy of the Moors.org. Our YouTube is the Embassy of the Moor. The Embassy of the Moors also. Our Instagram is also the Embassy of the Moors. Our Facebook is also the Embassy of the Moors. Our Twitter is the Moorish Embassy. So please log on to our website, sign up, become a member. And as we mentioned earlier in the segment, we have a newsletter that's coming out monthly. It will be ready for our beautiful subscribers July 25th. So please tune in, stay up to date. Tune into our calendar on our website also to get the latest updates. Thank you, Brother Dolph, for having me on your beautiful platform. And welcome, I'm always looking forward to building with you in the near future.
Yes.
And join us July 7th is our next Wednesday, which is topic Black Wall Street Part 2 Solutions, where we go in more detail about the solutions and what we can do as individuals to do our part, because that's all it takes is for each and every one of us to do our part, so that way us as a collective could be in a better position. And it does start with simply want to apply yourself. You don't have to have 360 degree of knowledge or think I have to, you know, read a couple books before I step into this. One could now, when one comes to realization that you have to participate in your own salvation, then there's no better time than now to participate. So go ahead and join us in this great effort. Sign up at our website, theembassyofthemoors.org. Thank you. I am your host. Excuse me. I am Brother Dale. Your host is Brother Dolph.
Yeah, I was going to correct you on that, man. Yeah. Thank you anyway. I'm glad to have you on. I'm gonna have to have you back again, man, because you kind of touched on some things at the end right there. Ooh, boy. But, you know, not to say it was a bad thing. We just got to let these things out, man, and let people know the real. I mean, that's been my perspective in this whole project. In I say project, but it's not a vanity project. But it, like I said, this is a bit of a personal venture for me in understanding and coming into the grasp of what Morris consciousness is throughout this entire paradigm, this existence of who I am as an individual person, or actually a people, as a member of the people, as a member of a national origin. But, you know, there are certain things that we have to get past us first. We have to get past these things. We have to get past this, what I've even termed it as, inflammatory rhetoric that I personally experienced from people, that, you know, when I've made certain expressions and I've been told that I was this, that, and the third, that I was possibly a quote unquote agent, which I'm not. And I'm saying this publicly and openly throughout my platform, that I'm not an agent. I'm here to, you know, gain knowledge of self and share the knowledge that I obtain with others. And, you know, also sharing experiences through life in another position, in being in still in, you know, captive in this matrix. And once we each know our position and know that what we can do to help, if we choose to do that, and that we need to actually stress that it is important to help in our self-growth and in our own successes in life, and being in a lawful position, so we don't have to run and apply and try to obtain civil rights in that. And understanding what those are things that are given to you, and that you are placed in a position of servitude. But we need to break the strings. And part of that is ascertaining a course of action into powering ourselves and making things better for the future and uplifting humanity. That's what it's about. And I want to definitely have you back again to touch on those other key points, brother. But I thank you today for your time.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. That's what we're here for. We're here to, you know, make things better, or at least do our part. All right, peace, brother. I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to go ahead and close this out. And I will be putting this up. This will be up today, as a matter of fact, because I don't need to do much editing at all. But all right, man, we'll talk to you later. And thanks for jumping on today. Peace.
All right, no problem. Peace and love. Thank you, viewers. Peace and love.
Peace and love. Okay. See that there. All right, y'all. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. You are tuned in and checked out the podcast, the one and only podcast that talks about pretty much learning more truth from the perspective of the learning, the man that's learning about Morris consciousness firsthand here. I'm your host, Adel, otherwise known, Adal, otherwise known as Dolph, Brother Dolph Day. And I'm going to sign out. But, you know, hopefully you like what you heard, and we'll have more for you in the coming weeks, days. But I'll leave all the information up, and you can plug in with us there. as we are really trying to put things together, really putting forth the effort. Thank you for listening, and hopefully we'll be back again.